A quick content warning before the episode starts. The content of this episode talks a bit about suicide, given that it is integral to the narrative of this episode and some character arcs there. So my fellow hosts and I will be discussing suicide at some length within the context of this episode.
Hello and welcome to the Death of the Roman Republic.
Blick's review of the 2005 HBO original series, Rome. Rome, Season 2, Episode 7, Death Mask. Yikes! A lot happens this episode. BP taking the lead in a discussion today. BP, what happens in Death Mask?
It is a cold and dark night that opens up this episode of Rome. Servilia is mourning the death of Brutus. She is putting on a mask that is representing the face of Brutus, and she is crying. And her slave tries to comfort her, offering her some willow water to help her sleep. Servilia says, no more sleep. And she is very much planning something out against Adia, Antony, everyone. Cole, did you have anything? I thought I saw it.
I mean, the main thing is... I'm a genius, and I wrote the script for this episode.
I kind of did too in some way. I said that there was going to be
something. No, don't steal my thunder.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I called it exactly.
Cut to Jocasta. She is getting married, and she is still coping with the death of her family, of course. Adia is not happy with Jocasta just crying. And we once again just hate Adia because... she caused the death of her family, and she is just being a total terrible person. And who is this person that Jocasta is marrying? Because we don't even know who she
so
is.
Good. I was so hyped. Because at first I thought it was going to be some off-screen person we don't know. But then the way Adia was talking, I was like, oh, shoot, this is going to be like a character. I was like, who's it going to be? It's going to be someone. And then the reveal is incredible.
I was so happy.
It was a pretty... great moment. So yes, she is marrying Posca. And
terrible match, by the way.
Yeah.
He's so pumped. Honestly, he's so happy.
He is, though.
I don't know if there was a better choice. Like,
probably not.
He's like the only one I could think of that wouldn't like treat her like dirt, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
I've seen the show and I'm like, oh my god, she's going to marry Agrippa. And I totally forgot it was Posca.
Atia is asking Antony if she is thinking about marriage, and Antony says that if when they get married, it will be the best wedding she would ever see, as she'd deserve it, which we all know she does not deserve the best wedding.
Moments before, let's not forget, Antony makes eyes with the slave and then winks at her and then talks about marrying Adia.
Servilia is calling out, Atia of the Julii, I demand justice. She says it numerous times. That's basically her only line throughout this entire episode after the first scene. And she is covered in ash. Irene is starting to show a little baby bump in the pregnancy, or being pregnant. Polo wants to make love, and Irene is saying no, as it would not be good for the baby, as a priest from her country said so. And the baby is starting to move in the stomach. They are just so happy together. They place their hands on Irene's stomach. They feel the baby move and make a kick. They're just so happy.
What a fun dynamic they're starting to have. They really feel like a nice little couple. And I'm like, wow, born out of some weird circumstance, but they like each other.
Yeah, surely nothing bad will happen.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Verena the Elder is being followed by the guy. I don't ever know if we ever got his name. What is
it's mentioned, but we always just called him Blue Eyes.
Oh. Yeah. Blue Eyes. She's still being followed by him. And he keeps giving her gifts of things made out of twine. Servilia, we go back to her. She is demanding the justice of Adia of the Julii. And this time, it's raining. A lot of time is going on throughout the day. And Antony arrives at a meeting between Lepidus and Octavian and Antony, and Antony arrives to the meeting late and hungover. And Antony being hungover is absolutely hilarious.
Unexpected. Cole, do you have a point?
I was like kind of surprised that like every time we cut to Servilia, the people are there. 'Cause I'm like, y'all have nothing better to do. She's been here for like a few
No,
days. It
yeah.
feels like you think this would get old.
She really became like kind of a tourist attraction. I wrote that down later in my notes too. I was like, people are just watching her go at it. It's wild.
I think this first one, I think the second one is still on the same day because Anthony talks about how he arrived late and hungover because of the wedding celebration. So I'm assuming that it's the same day for this part. But yes, Cole, yes, I see your point.
I feel like I don't actually know how long she was there. It felt like she was there for like a week. You would think people would like see it happen for like maybe a minute and be like, well,
We get
I feel like I've seen all there is to see here.
it. Lepidus is mentioning the Senate is worried about him, Antony, and Octavian going into becoming more like a tyranny with Rome. And Antony tells Lepidus to tell them to see Cicero's hands on the Senate door to say that we have gotten rid of a bunch of people. We can get rid of more. And Octavian wants to divide the territory of Rome into three for himself, Antony, and Lepidus because he feels that too much power for three people in one area. And Lepidus is questioning the logistics behind this, but Antony suggests that Octavian have Rome in the west, Antony would have Egypt in that area, and Octavian is disagreeing with this because he thinks he should have the east as there is more money that comes into this. And Antony says that that wouldn't matter because they would split it evenly. Lepidus questions what he would get, and Antony says Africa.
I, based on the rest of the episode, I don't know for sure if this is correct. I kind of assumed that like a whichever like part of the territory they own is like that's where they would kind of be stationed. But which I kind of thought that just like that made sense in my head. And also the fact that Lepidus doesn't show up after this scene, I kind of assumed he just went to Africa. But I was
Like,
like,
okay, here I go.
but Mark Antony didn't leave, so I was like, I don't know. But I was also like, dang. Mark Antony's really that desperate to avoid getting married, he'll just go to Egypt instead.
It is interesting you mentioned Lepidus because like this is like the narrator mentions it later in the episode, but this is like kind of the formal like birth of the triumvirate, which is supposed to like these three equal people of power. And like
It is
Lepidus
not.
doesn't get any screen time really. He's just kind of cast aside, and it's really the Octavian and Mark Antony show, which is
Yeah,
funny.
I. That was my other observation of that, where it's like a where Lepidus is like, yeah, the Senate views us all as a threat, and I'm like, do
All of you.
I don't think like riding coattails is like the right metaphor for Lepidus. It's more like he's like chained to Antony's coattails because he gets in with
Exactly.
Antony
Just kind
like
of dragged
by
along.
surrendering to him in the first place, essentially. And he still has a little bit of a spine. He doesn't give up the names that Antony demands, but he is certainly not an equal partner in the interactions with these men who are younger than him, which is it's a funny dynamic.
Servilia is still out there demanding the justice. Antony walks out. He makes fun of her. Adia is still annoyed. And Antony is just gloating in this situation. And he suggests that she go outside to speak to her, given that Atia, technically speaking, is not responsible for Brutus's death. She is saying that she should be in front of Antony's house to be doing this, as she was not there for Brutus's death.
Gotta say, she's they're kind of onto something with their like a Brutus's whole situation is like the one thing Adia hasn't had anything to do with.
You know, I was gonna say early on too, like Servilia in her absolutely not put together state. I kind of forgot this for a bit, but she totally pushed Brutus into the conspiracy to kill Caesar, and like for weeks, months was whispering in his ear that it's good for the Republic, even though it was maybe born from a personal vendetta, which is like the point of the show. Maybe she feels responsible in some ways for the death of her son.
There's a line for food in the Aventine. Polo catches someone trying to get seconds, but also might have a fake coin to get into line at all. And Gaia is fanning herself, and Irene walks by, really annoyed for her not doing work. She demands that she gets wood. Gaia claims she's busy, and Gaia threatens Irene. She threatens her how Irene threatens how her husband will beat her, and Gaia spits as she is walking away. Polo is asking what should be done with the fake coins, and Varinus doesn't really want anything to do with it. He just says it doesn't really matter.
Varinus is like a really good politician, as it turns out. Like, he's really showing his acumen, and like it would be a job like formally he would never want, but he's just like, oh, I just want to keep the people happy. That's like what's most important. Who cares if they have fake coins? And it's like, oh wow, okay, that was like very wise.
Irani says Polo should beat Gaia dead as she threatened her. Polo asks to Irani, what did you do to Gaia to upset her? And obviously Irani did not take that very well. Polo suggests that Varinus does the beating, but Polo says, never mind, it's his wife, he should be the one doing it. Polo goes down to stairs to whip Gaia. Gaia tries to be coy with the whipping, asking why she is gonna get whipped. Gaia calls Polo a lion after he calls her a mouse. Gaia says that she will take the beating, but says, Mascius will be mad. There is a fight between them. But then they get into a hugging position. She kisses him. She bites his lip while this is happening. They fight some more. She kicks him in the crotch. He tries to choke her on the table, but ends up having sex with her. Darn it, Polo.
I was so upset by this. I was up in Polo last episode. I was champion. I was like, yeah, Polo would not do this to Irani. And then he does this to Irani. I was so upset.
Yeah, Jacob, you've been shaking your head for like a minute. Your thoughts?
This scene was gross. I have more words, but I'll save them.
I was legitimately going to ask, how did everyone feel about this scene? BP, were you about to say something?
I just did not like it.
I was going to say, like, to some degree, Polo, I don't know, in some way, like, this is for certain the worst thing Polo has done in season two. I mean, unless you were a giant Cicero stan last episode. But, like, for all the, like, abject murdering Polo has done, this one feels like maybe the only betrayal, I guess, that he's ever committed, which I suppose is true that we see on screen. But, yeah, it hits a little different, this crime.
Mm-hmm. Polo's supposed to be the honest one.
We cut to Adia's house, where Sevilla is still at, and one thing I want to say, major props to the hair and makeup department for Servilia on this, because, man, for how, like, disturbing she's supposed to look with the ash or dirt around her, they make her look really good, and it looks really effective, because there's a lot of up-close shots of her.
She looks harrowing.
Yeah. Servilia curses Adia, and she commits suicide after cursing them, being the animal sacrifice of the curse.
She has
and
meat.
Her slave joins her afterwards. Yes. She pulls the knife out, stabs herself. Everyone's in shock. Octavia is watching in shock. And Antony, now that is an exit.
Octavia's reaction was so interesting because, like, at first she almost runs out to Servilia as she stabs herself and, like, grabs Adia's hand and holds on, but, like, I don't know. She and Servilia had a very twisted relationship, so Octavia's reaction was, it was something to watch for, I guess. And also, Adia looks very shaken and is a Kubrick staring at the camera, which is interesting.
Yeah, I forgot about Servilia and Octavia's relationship until I saw Octavia's reaction. I was like, oh yeah.
I forgot until just this moment.
Okay, we lost Cole.
The thing that I wrote, Kay, in regards to Adia, I said she looks terrified. And also, like, her, like, the way she looks is terrified and cold at the same time. Am I still screen sharing?
You never were.
You were never screen sharing.
Did you kick out Cole? Is that what Cole left?
Oh, sorry.
What a mess.
Anyways.
Okay.
Okay.
I see how it is.
Okay. Anyways, we'll fix it in post. Anyways, the newscaster reads out very anti-Semitic remarks. Prince Herod has come to Rome. Prince Herod visits Mark Antony. He offers a deal where, if he gets power, he will get a gift for Antony. Posca asks, what will the offer? And Herod actually says, what is the price you ask for? And Posca says, 20,000 pounds of gold. And Herod just says, done. And Antony just remarks, being like, we should have been going for more. He asks about Octavian and Lepidus and asks if they will ask for more gifts, and Antony says no, because all three of them are on the same page. They are in unity. And Posca has a really good reaction to this. He is very shocked to see that. He doesn't outright say anything, but his knee-jerk reaction. And after Herod leaves, Antony says, that is what I call a good morning's work.
I just want to say, Herod strong impression. I like this guy.
Okay, you got three words?
The dude is really drippy. Like, I don't know, he's looking cool. He's he's confident, and ooh, what would be a good third word?
Three words should be.
He's a negotiator. He's a negotiator. Yeah.
Posca asks what his share would be of the gift. Antony remarks that Posca's getting really greedy with him being free. And I'm just kind of like, God.
No, this was my favorite quote of the episode. Really, Posca, ever since you got your freedom, you've become insufferably greedy.
Which is a beautiful line because it's in one sentence, it is such succinct irony because we learn in that line that Antony is not going to be giving the money to the other triumvirs, which in itself is greed on Antony's part. But he's like, Posca, how greedy of you. And it's beautiful.
Cut to Herod walking into the walkway of Antony's place. Levi and Timon spot him and they are ready. They want to get rid of Herod. And Levi is telling Timon how he is worse than his father, and he will not stop until he's made every Jewish person slaves and idolizers. And he also says, the bastard should die. Maecenas is getting a pedicure and doing some doodling or journaling. Posca comes by to visit and wants to speak with him. Posca asks if he can be a good confidant. Maecenas says yes, so Posca tells him everything that Antony was up to this morning with Herod.
Crazy. This is crazy. Posca has been like the most loyal servant throughout this entire time, and him to like finally break and betray Antony, that's kind of huge, right?
I think Posca's like the single biggest winner this episode. Like, gets a bride, gets a bribe.
I would say only winner. Only winner this episode.
You know what? Yeah.
To be fair, I also think he probably is thinking, wait, I'm more loyal to Caesar. There is a Caesar now with Gaius Octavian Caesar. So maybe that was his thought process with this. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I would think it was more just like, Antony sucks as an employer.
Yeah.
Going to the HR department.
Octavian calls for a meeting with Antony, and he has learned about the deal with Herod's men and the way Antony is asking how he found out, and he is trying to figure out who the source is, but Octavian is protecting the source, and he says that it's a bribe for political and military favors, the cost of which favors will be borne by the state.
Funniest moment of the episode for me is when Antony is walking in here. You hear him in the hallway, like, squabbling with the servant, and he's like, those lions didn't pull my chariot at all. And one of them makes an arm. And the guy's like, oh, we can get you giraffes. He's like, what would I do with giraffes?
What about a camel?
Camels, maybe? He's like, well, what do I look like to you? Just give me some lions that can pull a chariot. Is that too much to ask for? And it's like, it's so great. It's hilarious.
Still very furious with Antony. Octavian warns him that he won't stand for self-arrangements, and he prompts a laugh from Antony, who accuses his rival of declaring Caesar a god so that he'd be known as the son of one. And Antony is giving blows here. You have no accomplishment. You seek to borrow the glory of others. And Octavian responds, it's true. It was no accomplishment defeating you in Mutina.
That was so hard. That was such a great retort.
Yeah, it was a great comeback.
And this is enough to rile him. And Octavian calls Antony a crude, arrogant leech. And Antony and Octavian leaves. But Antony is wanting to get the last word in this argument. That's right. And still f***ing your mother.
It's already falling apart. This...
Cut to a sequence where there's a lot of naked people in the background, and Gaia...
That was weird.
I meant to write that down, but it suddenly was so gone, and I never got clarity on why it happened.
Yeah.
It's like a woman is cleaning her breasts, and then there's just, like the small orgy going on in the background.
And we're, at the Collegia, too, right?
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Gaia offers anything that they need to Irene and Polo Rhaeny asked for water, I was really worried in this scene. I thought, oh boy, is this going to be it? Is this going to be where Gaia possibly wants to screw things up? But Gaia asked Polo if he wants anything, and he says no. So I was kind of like, okay, if she's offering something, maybe something will come about. After Gaia walks away, and Rhaeny says that things have been better since Gaia got a good beating and says it should be the same beating every month. And Polo slightly just chokes on his food in shock.
Rhaeny has no idea what she has just done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole, did you just hiccup?
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
Yeah, we call out all hiccups on this show.
Verena the Elder tells Verena the Younger that if Verenus asked where she went to Lydie's temple. And we cut to her in bed with blue eyes, and she is not wanting him to see her naked. And Memeo comes in and finds out what's going on. He's acting like he had no clue what was going on. He asks, what would happen if Verenus finds out? And he threatens to tell her, and when he turns around, he's just laughing as a part of his whole plan. It's starting to work for him. Verena the Elder begs him not to tell, and he makes an offer. If she tells him what is going on in the business, then he won't tell. And Verena the Elder agrees.
I have a prediction. Verenus is going to kill that guy. Don't know when.
Probably, yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
It seems pretty. Seems like a pretty good prediction.
We cut to a scene where Octavian and Antony reach out a deal about how the chain of command will be handled and communicated. And Adia just throws in, they must shake hands to call the agreement. Adia says there needs to be something done to get the trust of the people because this argument put a scare in the people. Messena says that he would tell the newsreader about something. Adia suggests a marriage, and Antony makes a joke that he would not be marrying Octavian.
Hilarious.
That was my funniest moment.
I don't care if all of Italy burns. I won't marry him. So good.
And I was like, he said it, and I was like, oh, man, what a world we could have lived in if they'd explored that option.
This is
very different.
I will make this assertion. Antony is like his peak diva level of any episode thus far this season, and it's really awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Octavian agrees to a marriage agreement because Octavian says that it would be a smart move. But Octavian asks Adia to leave so that they can plan, as it would be inappropriate for a woman to be in the room with these arrangements. And of course, Adia goes over. She thinks she's going to be the one getting married. She thought she schemed this entire thing to get married.
To be fair, I think we all thought that's what was happening.
True.
But as soon as Adia is forced to leave the room, I'm like, son of a... he's going to marry Octavia, isn't he? And it's just... Weirdly, I'm rooting for Atia in this situation because you are kind of in a way rooting for the comedy of Antony finally being tied down to this woman. And it also is like the least egregious act for Antony to marry Octavia. It is awful for so many reasons. And so it's the weird circumstance wherein you're rooting for Atia and it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I was just initially going to say this later, but considering we're talking about it right now, I can say it. I was kind of stoked when I found out that's what was happening. I didn't put it together here. I put it together at the wedding. But I put it together when Antony was like trying to talk to her. I was like, okay, this isn't going down the way she thinks it is. But I feel bad for Octavia and Agrippa. I really do. I stan them, but... I will sacrifice any relationship to the pyre if it makes Adia's life worse.
Oh,
I don't care.
Speaking of Octavia, Adia asks where Octavia is, and she's preoccupied with Agrippa.
He just liked me.
When the big wedding news reaches Levi, it prompts an idea. With everyone watching the bride and groom during the public parade, no one will make any mind to Herod. Timon is concerned about the layers of guards that will be surrounding the target. You're not losing your nerve, are you? Levi is asking Timon. We made an oath on the Torah. We might even make it out alive. No chance of that. Timon is certain of thinking that. We'll be hacked to pieces, quick as a pan. And then
quick as
Timon
pan.
And... Yeah, Quickest Pan, sorry. Tymon and Levi go back to Tymon's place. They are having dinner with the family. They have a little, like, cheers moment with the glasses. But Tymon is just getting this look of this face where we might just see another turn of the unexpected character arc of Tymon in Season 2. Farina the Elder goes through some paperwork, and because she is trying to own up to her deal, and Varinus catches her. Varinus asks her what's up. Varinus is kind of questioning what's going on, but Farina the Elder is saying that she needs some money because Farina the Younger needs a new dress. He goes to the drawer to give her some money, or the little safe, and grabs some money, gives it to her. But he kind of just has a little bit of a suspicious look as she leaves, because...
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Do we think he suspects something? Because Varinus isn't no dummy, but he does love this girl, and I thought he was a little suspicious.
Yeah.
He looked like he was a little... He was like, I don't know about all that. Like, she also especially is... She's not the best liar, so it came out very weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk about this a lot, that when it's on the line, a lot of characters are not very good at lying. Although I will say Memeo earlier this episode did a really good job at that.
He killed it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that guy, I almost believed him.
BP, I'm going to take a main host role here because I just really wanted to frame this scene. So Octavian is watching Antony and Adia have sex.
Octavian's back, baby.
That's so funny.
Season 1, Octavian is back.
My impression on this scene was, I thought at first it was Antony and Octavia already going at it. And I wrote and underlined, I don't like this. This sucks. This sucks.
Well, the scene goes on. This is really twisted. When Adia says to Antony that she loves him, Octavian smiles, and then he kind of goes away, and Antony's like, we gotta talk. And Adia starts rattling off things about their life, how she'd move into Antony's villa, but she'd want to renovate a lot of things. And it made me think, like, I don't think we've ever seen Antony's trap house, but man, I would love to. And then Antony says they need to talk.
Now, after Antony says he needs to say something, we cut to the wedding, and it's Octavia and Antony. Octavian is... Did he just find out that she slept with Agrippa? Well, who really knows? If it was just a political move, we'll never really know. They are...
I mean, I feel like we do know. I think he actually doesn't know about the Agrippa stuff, but this, they say later, like, this is a political move.
Well, I also wrote that note before he said what the motive was.
Oh.
Mm.
Keep in mind, they're obviously very uncomfortable, especially Octavia and poor Agrippa. Messenius is legitimately
the
worst.
You just like me for real.
Legitimately the worst when it comes to just gloating on this, because he was in that room when they were planning who the wedding was going to be between. And he says Octavia was a more suitable marriage to have children with, and one of the family wanted to grow as Adia's getting a little up there in age. Adia is unhappy. Octavian is being really creepy again, just standing in the back of right behind her on this, and he says the marriage wouldn't have worked.
I've been on close God watch slash curse watch this season, and that curse be working. Servilia cursed Adia to immediate effect. Because that's about the one thing that can make her life most miserable is not getting wed to Antony and seeing her own daughter get wed instead.
I just wanted to go back a little bit to Messana. Said you glanced over the part where he says, where he's talking to Agrippa and he's like, yeah, it'd be a shame if someone was in love with Octavia, to which I say, he just like me for real.
Well, I did want to say, like, I don't think Messanus is gloating in front of Agrippa. He explains the situation to his friend, and Agrippa says, this is wrong. And Messanus says, careful, if you didn't know any better, I think you were in love with her. Messanus is not the kindest character, but I think he is watching out for his friend Agrippa in this instance.
Yeah.
It's at this point I realized that Posca and Antony are like have the weirdest dynamic ever, because they're like kind of like work friends, but like they're also kind of secretly pitted against each other. But now they're even closer because their wives are best friends. Jocasta and Octavia.
They're gonna have to like deal with each other at like the weekend get together
functions. It's crazy.
Adia goes to her room. Antony insists that she should come back down. Antony tries to explain, but Adia says that Antony loves power more than her. And he tries to insist that nothing would change, but she says, first you betray me, now you'd betray my daughter. We see a parade, and Antony is putting more show on this than Octavia. We are seeing the reactions, including Agrippa, Jocasta, Posca, Herod. Timon and Levi see Herod and plan to attack. Timon gets sidetracked seeing Adia, thinking all the times that he had with her. And Timon says he is not going to be killing anymore, since another person would just come in and replace Herod, and that would just be what would happen anytime they would try to kill a person in a higher up position. And Levi says that he took an oath, and Timon breaks it. Timon is called a coward by Levi. They get into a fight. Timon, I don't know if this was fully intentional. I would say it's inadvertently stabs Levi while trying to defend himself. Timon feels the guilt, but in his dying breath, Levi owns Timon.
Firstly, I totally, I'm positive this was an unintentional act on Timon's part. They were just, fighting. But the initial thing I wanted to say was, man, Levi's an idiot. Because, when Timon's some guy's just going to replace Herod, and Levi's like, then we'll kill him too. And it's like, you guys have already established you're going to die 7 seconds after you kill Herod. What are you talking about?
I also wanted to add that Timon, even though, yes, he spots Adia, and that's not the full thing that kind of got him to snap out of it, but I think he didn't want her to see him die, because I think even though he left Adia, he probably thinks she probably still feels something for me and I still feel something for her. But also, he does bring up, I have a wife and children. I don't want to die. I want to be a better father.
I think BP, you're on a more correct train of thought with that latter thought. I think he sees Adia in the crowd, and it's an immediate reminder of the life he left and why he left it. Adia pit him to do a whole lot of murder and a whole lot of bad things, and he's standing there about to go kill someone else again. He's like, how am I doing this again? This is not who I wanted to be. This is not what I set out to do. And so he probably doesn't feel anything towards Adia. If anything, he feels resentment, and her presence there snaps him back to reality and be like, this is not the life I want to live.
Well said, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I will also throw in here before I move on, I think this is the moment where I think it's because it was just a wait and see. I had to wait and see what would come about with this. I'm starting to appreciate Timon's arc in this season.
I'm glad.
Anyways, dang, I was expecting a shock reaction at Jacob.
I'm just happy. Timon's cool.
Sucks for Timon that happened. I still don't super care.
Anyways, cut to Antony and Octavia in bed. Antony is trying in the most Mark Antony way to make the best of it and suggest consummation of the marriage. And Octavia is very indifferent about this. And Octavia is just like, do whatever you want. I don't care. They have sex. Adia walks to the spot where Servilia cursed her and is just looking upon this. She's thinking about it. She's really beginning to believe that this curse is working. The final scene, Gaia stops by a stall to request two special herbs. The attendant glances at her stomach. You caught it early. And Gaia nods, and the woman suggests willow tea to dilute the strong taste and horsetail in case there's much bleeding, and she says she does not need that.
Do we all understand the implications of what Gaia says here at the end?
Yes. Yeah. And she's
getting rid of that baby.
I'm just going to be sad because I'm angry at Polo for this episode because of what he did. I'm going to be sad. Arrhenius was a good moral compass.
You guys are talking like she's already dead.
I don't think she's going to make it out of this because Gaia
can't. I think Arrhenius lives, probably.
I don't think so.
I don't know. It's intended to only kill babies.
Yeah.
That was definitely a sentence.
If she were trying to kill Irene, she would probably just kill her. That
yeah,
going out of her way to get something to kill the baby, I think says a lot about what her plan is.
Agree.
Colin BP, I'm about to break out room you two. Your question to consider. There are three episodes left of this whole series. There's, you know, kind of two levels of society that we're playing with here. The upper echelon of Antony, Octavian, and their family's machinations, as well as Polo, Varinus, the Aventine, the Memeo, the Blue Eyes. And I'm just curious, of our beloved characters, some predictions of what you think may be in store for them, what storylines or characters may resolve, where is this heading, do you think? It's a very open-ended question. If you have anything else you really want to talk about, though, by all means do so. This is a kind of a softball, I guess, right? I didn't put a lot of thought in this question, I suppose.
Hello, Kay.
Hello, Jacob.
Oh, let's talk marriage, shall we?
Marriage, yes, yes.
Is what brings us together. whatever that quote is. Anyway, because I recall, and part of my memory, it makes me think when Octavian gets married, he throws a huge thing, and like they dress as gods, and the yeah. people don't like him for that.
Yep.
But as I was watching this show today, I was like, oh, is that this moment now with Antony's marriage? So clarity, please.
You got the framing of Octavian's marriage correct, Jacob, okay. That after his very lavish marriage, as there's a pirate blockade on Rome, Octavian does not look very good. Maybe they'll add that into this episode. It's like, man, Antony's having this big lavish wedding, expending all these resources when they could be helping people. That could come up in the future. Other thoughts on marriage, Jacob? I mean, there was a big one that occurred this episode.
Pasca Iocasta, can you believe it? Really? I mean, we all, household names, we all know those two. Yeah, I guess, I mean, the question is, does Antony actually marry Octavian's sister? Which, I can't remember, but I'm actually going to say, I think so? Sure, yeah.
Exactamundo.
Mm-hmm. So, good on you, Rome. You did it. You did it right.
Yeah. I have a whole breadth of narrative here, because, I mean, from this point on, Rome is like, just like speed runs the death of the Roman Republic. So a lot of our history sections will devolve into this. But this episode doesn't really show the aftermath of the Battle of Philippi on the day. So right after Philippi, there's a lot of captured Brutus and Cassius soldiers, and Octavian probably executes a lot of his prisoners, whereas Antony was a lot more forgiving and magnanimous, and he wrapped Brutus's body in his own cloak. So the narrative after Philippi is like Antony is like top dog, no pun intended too much, whereas Octavian was sick for most of the battle, didn't do too well, executed a lot of people, so that affects some of their politics in real life afterwards. The results of the second triumvirate are basically accurate. The rich east is for Antony, west is for Octavian, a little bit of Africa for Lepidus. There's a whole arc of late Republic history that is skipped this episode. I don't fault the show for that necessarily, but Antony doesn't stay in Rome like immediately after this. He spends a while in the east, at least a year, while Sextus Pompey is giving Octavian issues. And then Antony's brother and Antony's wife, because Antony was actually married at this time, start a rebellion against Octavian that he has to knock down. Jacob, do you recall the name of Antony's wife at this time? Starts with an F.
It does start with an F. It's Fulvia?
Okay. Yes, yes,
I was
great.
Gonna genuinely just guess Fulvia, because I know that's just one of the powerful women of the Roman era that we remember through history. So it would have been a very lucky guess even without the hint. Let's go.
Fulvia would go. She loses. Antony's brother loses. And Fulvia goes to Antony, but he spurns her, is pretty cold to her. By this point, Antony has hooked up with Cleopatra as a lover. Fulvia dies shortly after this, so when Antony gets back to Rome after a while, he inadvertently almost sets out a civil war with Octavian because tensions are so high, like his family just kind of went to war with Octavian, so they need a marriage to defuse the situation, which, you know, this episode starts kind of picking up on. So Antony does in fact marry Octavia, since they are both recently single. Octavia's first real husband was Marcellus, who died not by Adia-related causes. And Adia was never in the picture for Antony as a possible mate, because she was married to another guy during this entire period. And final thing, Jacob, do you recall, I don't know, Servilia's actual fate after the death of Brutus?
I don't recall her actual fate. No, yeah. I mean, she wouldn't have been a part of any prescription or anything because she's a woman. So I have no idea.
Do you think she committed suicide?
I reckon she probably didn't.
You would be correct on that, Jacob. Servilia probably died around the 20s BCE. She probably lived to see Augustus actually win, become the first Roman emperor, but it's a pretty I have a bonus episode like dedicated to Servilia's life a little more from her perspective, and the fact that she was linked up with Caesar and her half brother was Cato, and she lost family members in earlier civil wars, and then this ensuing civil war ensues the death of the Roman Republic. Really fascinating from that perspective. But that's about all I had, Jacob. So pretty, this was I really enjoyed watching this episode.
Really?
And in some ways, I thought I kind of enjoyed this episode more than last episode.
Really? That's
Yeah.
crazy.
Did you not really enjoy this
I'll
episode?
talk about it. I'll talk about it.
Okay.
The Battle of Actium. That probably will happen. You think, will that be depicted? I don't want to know. We'll see. I bet it will. I
We'll
bet it
see.
will. It seems like a very
Bet there
important
will.
battle, in my opinion. But we only have three episodes
Yeah.
left, so who knows?
Famously called the last battle of the Republic. Hopefully, we'll see it.
Yeah,
All right, Cole, why don't you hit me with a couple of your predictions or anything else you want to share?
we didn't answer your question. We spent the whole time talking about Euphoria.
That's so not
I'm
true. That's such a lie.
Yeah,
you're right. We only spent like the last like minute or so talking about Euphoria.
Neither of you watch Euphoria, I don't think.
You're correct.
Wild.
But
You don't know I haven't seen it.
Evidently he does.
The BP, the reason I know you haven't seen Euphoria is because you've never texted me about it. Like,
That's so true.
anyway, we spoke about a few things. My biggest prediction is I do think there's a possibility that this whole thing with Gaia getting rid of Pollo and Eleni's baby, this could result in Eleni's death. That's not Gaia's plan, but it could be like an unfortunate side effect. And whether or not that happens, and in fact, if it does happen, Pollo will be even angrier. He's gonna find out and he's gonna kill Gaia.
So some lower societal predictions there. BP, some predictions from you.
I think that this curse that Servilia placed on Adia is just gonna figure out ways to get worse. Even if Adia doesn't necessarily die, there's still the one thing I do know for sure still has to happen this season, and that is Mark Antony going to Egypt and have his affair with Cleopatra. And that's going to be pulling a bit for Adia on the curse. And I think that Varinus is going to find out everything that's going on.
Well, we will move into some least favorite moments of the episode, if there were any.
Whole
Jacob,
episode.
Yes.
least favorite
Whole
moments.
episode. Worst episode of the entire show.
Whoa, what?
It sucked. It was
Okay.
a misery fest. And I will pick out one particular scene. But as a whole, I have to say, yeah, this will almost certainly remain my least favorite episode unless the show doesn't stick the landing. It's not like poorly executed or anything, but it is just an hour long of misery where nothing good happens to any of the characters you love, which I'm usually like normally okay with. Like I like bad endings and I like when bad things happen to characters because it's like dramatic and I think it makes for good storytelling. But like every single person, every step of the way, like is just like going against like the progression and the character arc that like we want them to do, or like bad things are just happening to them that they have no power over. And it's like, it's just miserable to watch, in my opinion. It's not fun and it makes me sad. And the specific scene that I really, really dislike is between Pullo and Gaia when they are fighting and then they have intercourse, because like this scene to me blurs the lines in a way that's really uncomfy and uncozy, because like to me there's not that much tension between them while they're fighting. It feels like they're genuinely fighting. Even when like Gaia like kisses Pullo, she then immediately like bites him, and I just think like she's fighting back, and then it like happens anyway. And I don't know, I'm not usually like a prude when it comes to like these sex scenes in the show. I usually kind of think they're cool, but this one I was just like, this is not it. This is like makes me feel really bad, and the rest of the episode made me feel really bad too, a lot more. So yeah.
Interesting take, Jacob. Interesting take.
I mean, at least Posca got married.
Yeah, no, as when I said, when we talked about earlier, Posca, in my opinion, literally the only winner of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cole?
My least favorite scene was the Polo Gaia scene. I do agree with a lot of what Jacob said about it being iffy on how much like tension was there. I'm mostly just so angry at Polo. I feel like his character arc has been like him becoming a better person throughout the show, and he's like he stumbled along the way a few times, but like he's overall been improving. And I was just like, I was talking him up so much last episode about how like he's not gonna like fall for this stuff with Gaia because like she tried it last episode and it didn't work. So I was like, yeah, he's good. And then he does this to Eren. I was just like, it felt kind of out of character, especially with how like excited he's been and like how much he's like loves her. And I was just like super upset the entire time.
It's a regression of his character, yeah. BP, did you have a least favorite moment?
It's the Gaia Polo scene. I don't have anything to add to it. And I've talked a lot this episode, so I will leave it at that.
All right. I don't think I had anything noted as least favorite, but I guess you guys are reminding me the first time I watched the show, I also severely disliked that the Polo Gaia scene as well. But it didn't stick out as particularly, as offensive to me this time around, I guess is the best way I can put it. But we'll go to we'll go to favorites now. Jacob, were you able to muster up a favorite moment of the episode?
There is one singular good scene in this episode, and we didn't do it justice in our summary, actually. It is Servilia's death scene. The editing here is very beautiful, and we get a nice tight focus on Servilia where she delivers this one last final monologue, and we come to the realization that she's laying a curse. And I think actually Rome has done a phenomenal job of building up to this point and kind of hinting to us very subtly that like for these curses and like these religious ceremonies, like a sacrifice is needed. And I don't know, especially with last episode, I think in recent memory. And so with that context, I like even in the episode, I'm like, oh, is she like going to sacrifice something for this curse to make it real? And then I'm like, oh, wait, she is going to sacrifice something. She's going to sacrifice herself. And then she does. And it's just very well delivered and very well shot, and gives a nice little a final bit of power to Servilia that I think is really cool, and lets her like win essentially in her perpetual fight against Atia. Like she gets the last upper hand because the curse is obviously effective and Atia doesn't get married to Antony and all that jazz, but B, it takes the power away from Atia to kill Servilia herself. Like Servilia takes it into her own hand, and now Atia will never be able to do that. And so it is a great scene. It's good.
Cole, favorite moment from you?
My favorite scene was, I feel like this might be a weird pick, it's the scene between Herod and Antony.
Oh, okay.
Like I said when we got there in the summary, I think Herod made a very strong impression. He's a cool guy. He seems like he knows how to play the game. He's like, so yeah, the Roman politicians, you guys don't like come ask for bribes. I have to give you one. Like, just like out the gate, right? And Antony's like, yeah, I'm glad I understand things correctly. And he's like, what do you want? And they tell him, he's like, all right, cool, I'll do it. And he's like, then him just being like, and also you guys are together, right? So I don't have to worry about them coming to me later to, you know, ask for more gifts. And I mean, Antony like tried to screw him over on that, but like Herod, like he understood the political situation and was like using what information he had to like work it to his advantage. And I like that guy. He's cool.
Thank you for sharing, Cole. It got a little robot-y there, but I think I can salvage the main points of that. BP, favorite moment from you?
My favorite moment in this episode is also Servilia's death. And it is everything that Jacob said, editing, the showing of why the curses are there. And plus, I just really love what the actor did in that scene when it came to her performance. I'm blanking on her name at the moment, and I
know she's Duncan? In Birdman,
but yes, Lindsay Duncan. Lindsay Duncan just does a great job in this scene, and it's just like a great culmination of what her performance has been throughout the first throughout both seasons as Servilia. And it was just such a good scene. There's nothing else I can add.
You know, for saying that to Jacob, that I kind of, while watching it, liked this episode more than last episode. Like, now I feel like I'm kind of crazy or something. But, like, literally, all I had for my favorite moment was Octavian watching Antony and Adia, because I thought it was a funny callback, but also the ensuing conversation. I don't know, just, like, him smiling as she says he loves him. Like, Octavian, I don't know, still has some cruelty in him there, so I can't really justify why I enjoyed this episode. Maybe it is just the misery of everyone goes through. I will say, though, it's hard for me to imagine back to 6 years ago watching this for the first time. I'm pretty sure I was hate watching the show at this point. I guess I can't fault you guys too much. But to wrap here, folks, if you want to learn more about the real history behind this episode, the aftermath of Philippi and marriages and other events, you can listen to Death of the Roman Republic, Chapter 16, titled Warlords, Peacemakers, Lovers.
Hi, my name's Jacob. If you want to follow me on socials, I'm not there anymore. You can email me. But I would like to leave you with a bit of advice or a recommendation for your life. Go out into a field and locate a wildflower and study the anatomy of the flower and form questions in your head. Why is this here? What purpose does it serve? What is this part due to this part? And how does it relate to the animals that interact and feed off that flower? Think about it.
I also have some advice. If you have people out there, it's like telling you, like, hey, stay hydrated, drink water, stuff it, all right? Because your body has this really cool way of letting you know when you need to drink water. It's called being thirsty. Don't let those people out there tell you you need to be drinking more water than you want to
be
drinking.
Don't let big hydration.
When you need water, your body lets you know.
Oh, my gosh.
You can follow me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, now officially X because it changed to that on my phone automatically and I'm annoyed, and Letterboxd, BP Movie Review Hour. It's a fun time. With all that being said, friends, Romans, countrymen, I hope you enjoyed the show.
BP, you killed that ending. God, after Jacob finished his nature plea, I wanted BP to come in. Follow BP Oil Review. let's see. BP Oil Reviews? That's an interesting channel. Okay.